Arcaders, it's UberNerd527 here, and welcome to another episode of Pokemon Rewind, a podcast where we're going over episodes of the Pokemon anime through random story arcs. We pick a random story arc, and then we go episode by episode in said story arc. We are currently in the Orange Islands right now, in case you didn't already figure out. We're on the 11th. This is 11th? No, we're really far into the episodes now. Okay, I don't even know where we are right now. That's how far we are. So, anyways, we are here talking about the episode called The Joy of Pokemon. But before we do, of course, just to remind you that we are going to go over the entire episode. So we're going to spoil all kinds of wonderful things. So hopefully you have watched this. But if you haven't watched it, you've had plenty of time to watch it. And if you haven't watched it yet, you can watch it on Netflix, you can watch it on Hulu, you can watch it on the free Pokemon app. You can go to YouTube and type it and you will find it somewhere. It will be somewhere, so make sure you watch it before then. Now, before we get into this, though, I would like to introduce a special guest who is here with me today, talking a little bit about the fun facts for this episode. So, Wybie, say hello to the general public.
Hello, general public.
You can salute, too. General public.
Yes. You can't see, but I am saluting.
General public. So, Wybie is joining me because she's going to be part of our 20th anniversary podcast.
I'm special.
And she's going to be a part of that. So, I figured since we're here, we'll go ahead and just talk to her a little bit about the anime and her history with it. But first, let's go over the episode of the Pokemon anime. Now, this is the 92nd episode of the Pokemon anime. Yes, that includes all the deleted, by the way, we include the deleted episodes, but we're not actually going to go over them since there's no way we can see them in English.
This is true.
So, then it came out in March 4th, 2000. How old were you on March 4th, 2000?
I was about 3 years old.
Okay, well, I'm going to get my cane and walk out of here. So I was 16, I believe, when I watched this on TV on Saturday morning when I was in high school. So that's about all for the fun facts we have for this episode, because that's about it. However, I did want to go over our featured Pokemon for this episode, and the featured Pokemon is actually twofold. It's Magikarp and Gyarados.
Riveting.
Yes. So, let's start off with Magikarp.
Magikarp, the fish Pokemon. Magikarp can live in the dirtiest of water. It jumps very well and can evolve into Gyarados.
Now, Magikarp is a water-type Pokemon, which the only weaknesses that water types have are electricity and grass. That's it. That's all I have. So, a little bit better than rock types, wouldn't you say?
Unfortunately, I have to agree.
We don't hate rock types, but we feel sorry for rock types.
I feel very sorry for them.
They're weak against everything.
I just want to protect them from the world. I'll curl up in the corner with my Sandshrew and cry. But that might hurt him, because he's weak to water.
Oh, gosh. All right. So you can find Magikarp literally in every game, in every bit of water, in every region. You can find Magikarp everywhere. They're so easy to catch. And Magikarp are kind of based off of, like, Chinese carp. Their design is very similar to that. Which is really cool because it has that kind of look to it, like a koi pond or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. You have, like, little Magikarp swimming around. Now, unfortunately, according to the anime, you cannot eat Magikarp because their scales are hard as rock. And they're also all bone and gristle. So,
delicious.
You cannot eat a Magikarp. And that's not something that people would... Although I would think that if Magikarp did have meat, it would probably be delicious.
I think people are just going to stick with their slowpoke tails for now.
Well, anyways, so Magikarp evolves into a Gyarados at level 20. Now, this is a complete change because now Magikarp turns from something that's useless into something that's completely useful.
Gyarados. This Pokemon has a vicious temperament, so use extreme caution. Its fangs can crush stones, and its scales are harder than steel.
Gyaradoses are flying water types and are weak against rock, electric, grass types. So this is a good typing, actually, because it's one of those characters, it's one of those Pokemon that one type kind of almost cancels out the other type's weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And so it's actually really hard to defeat a Gyarados. Very difficult, and especially now that he has a Mega Evolution, mm-hmm. which is the Dark type, which looks strange.
It does. It looks... I think they were trying to make it look like a kite.
Yeah, they were trying to make it look like a kite.
Yes.
Yeah. So, now, Gyarados and Magikarp come from a kind of an Eastern folktale about carp that swim up a waterfall to get to the Dragon's Gate. Once they get to the Dragon's Gate, they turn into dragons. It's kind of an Eastern folktale, and it kind of made itself its way into Pokemon. I consider Gyarados to be a dragon, even though it doesn't have a dragon typing, because it has lots of dragon moves. It has the power of it has the stats of a dragon, mm-hmm. and it's even Lance had a dragon Gyarados.
Yes.
And he's a dragon trainer, so. They're a dragon. I don't care what anyone says.
I mean, you can't argue with it because Charizard isn't a dragon type, but he's very much a dragon.
Yeah, he's a fire-breathing lizard, therefore he's a dragon. Thank you very much. But, of course, we don't talk about... I don't want to get into Charizard because I'll start talking about Charizard all day long.
Magikarp, Gyarados.
Magikarp and Gyarados. I had a Gyarados. I heard that Magikarp evolved into Gyarados. It was one of those rumors around the school that are just like, did you hear the Magikarp evolved into Gyarados? No, that's not true. And it's one of those ones that actually was true, mm-hmm. unless unlike the whole truck behind the SSM.
Oh gosh, and, that truck.
Which I actually found. I actually went and found it and tried strength on it, and it didn't work.
I worked very hard to get to that truck. What is the point of the truck if
I don't
it's
know.
Not for that?
I don't know, but they did put it. They did put an empty space in that area, and you can actually go back there in Firelight and Leaf Green. Mm-hmm. As kind of like a ha-ha-ha-ha-ha.
Yeah.
I remember hearing about it and then getting a Magikarp and going, okay, let's do this. And so the only attack he learns is Tackle, mm-hmm. which at first is okay, but then as he gets into higher levels, it's like, well, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
Now he learns other moves like Flail, which is a little bit better.
Is it, though? Is
it? I said a little bit. So it's a viable Pokemon. A lot of people have Gyarados. I've seen Gyarados in lots of competitive teams, so he's definitely a viable Pokemon. Of course, I don't know how you would go through all those Gyaradoses. Or just they're just Gyarados. There's just a lot of Gyarados, and if there's a lot of Gyarados, you should probably run for your life.
Definitely.
Yeah, because they're probably angry and they probably want to kill you and rip you apart.
Oh, tasty.
So. Now, did you have you ever caught a Gyarados? I'm sure you.
I did.
Have.
I did have a Gyarados. I think he was about level like, I think he was a pretty high level. I think he was like close to like 70 or something. Because you know, once you get a Gyarados, why would you stop using it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. This is a true thing.
You worked through so hard to get him to 20. You're not just gonna let him go now.
His shiny is pretty cool. I like his shiny.
I admittedly have never had a shiny in my entire life.
What?
I've never caught one, I've never had one through Wonder Trade, and I've never bred one.
Oh, we'll have to rectify that. I have a couple of shinies.
Please. That's all I want.
Not even a red Gyarados?
I've never had a shiny in my entire life. Gosh. Nothing. Ever.
I will give you
one. Please.
Well, anyways, and of course, my favorite Gyarados is the red Gyarados.
Of course.
That you find in the Lake of Rage in Johto, that you get to actually catch. And it's the first shiny that everyone, did not get. So, red Gyarados is actually really, really cool. It's a red coloring. It looks neat. It definitely is. You think it's more powerful, but it's not. It's just different colors. So
he's pretty.
He's pretty. So that's pretty much all the fun facts I had for this episode. So I didn't want to just have her drop in for one thing. So I want YB to tell a little bit about her history with the anime, what she thinks about the anime. What was the... do you remember the first episode you ever watched?
The first episode.
Wow, the first episode.
The first episode.
I Choose You Pikachu, or I Choose You Pokemon.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, you know, I... watched. That was the first episode I saw. I got attached immediately. I thought Pikachu was adorable. I got immediately invested in the story because, you know, fighting little monsters, they're cute.
Mm-hmm.
It drew me in immediately.
Okay. Who's your favorite character from the anime?
I don't know. It's kind of hard to pick. You can't just pick one. I guess
tell
I gotta
us
go.
All of your favorites, then.
Well, we're gonna
list
be
them out.
We're gonna be here for a while.
Okay. All
right. You gotta love Brock.
Okay.
It's hard not to love Brock. He's such a goofball, and he flirts with everyone, and he's like, 15?
You're going to see when you get older that when you're a kid, it's really, really, it's really funny. But when you're older, it's kind of like, okay, Brock, you're a creeper. All right.
Stop, please. No, I still cringe. I'm just like, stop. She's like twice your age. You don't know her first name.
Okay. Who else do you like?
I love Dawn.
Okay.
Dawn, I enjoyed her character design and how much development we experienced with her in that season of the show. And I don't know, I think she brought a new element in a way, even though there's always got to be a female third wheel character in every season. But I feel like she was different than the other ones.
Okay, I'm going to ask this, only because I've never actually asked this before, so I'm going to ask this.
Lay it on me.
Okay. A lot of fan people like to ship people. And for those of you that don't know what means...
Don't ask me my ships.
I don't want to know your ships.
Okay, good.
But
I don't need that.
I don't want to know your ships. But for those of you who don't know, shipping means that you want two characters to have a relationship.
Yes.
Which is the general idea.
Let it sail.
Are you... Gosh.
I will go down with this ship.
These are awesome. Okay. I'm glad I decided to ask this question now. All right. So, are you a pearl shipper?
Wait, what?
Pearl shipper. That means Dawn and Ash.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that was their ship name.
Yeah,
that's dumb.
Was their ship name.
It's a dumb ship name.
I found it out.
Yes.
Because I had to do research.
Yes, I ship them. I do. They had so much romantic tension.
Really?
They did. I felt it. I felt it in the air.
All right, because most people they ship Misty and Ash.
Well, yes, of course, for the first season, but then she left and she's fallen off the face of the earth. Yep, I can English. She has fallen off the face of the earth, and then Dawn slid in.
All right, okay. What about, like, May or... Serena's too easy because they already... Like, they right off the bat was like, she likes him.
Yeah. I think... Honestly, I think all of the girls had a tiny crush on him.
I don't know. Iris didn't seem like she was interested.
Oh, true. I haven't really watched that season that much.
I've watched Black and White, and Iris didn't really seem interested in all.
Her excluded.
Mm-hmm.
Virtually everyone else.
Okay. All right. So, what is your favorite story arc that you've seen? Because we have the Indigo League, we have the Orange Islands, we have Ruby Sapphire, we have Diamond and Pearl, we have Black and White, and we have X and Y.
I haven't seen Black and White or X and Y as much. I've sort of fallen off the show bandwagon. But, of course, Indigo League was amazing, because it was the first one I saw, so I'm biased, so I love that one the most. Mm. But I enjoyed Pearl. Diamond and Pearl.
Black and White is my favorite. And there's reasons why, and hopefully, eventually, I'll get that on the podcast, because I love Black and White. It's just amazing. Anyways, alright, so... Because I would talk about that forever.
We got time.
Now... We've already talked about your human characters. What about your Pokemon? Do you have any Pokemon that you enjoy? Because they give Pokemon a lot of personality in the show. Is there any Pokemon that, besides Ash's Pikachu, because everyone likes
Ash's Pikachu. There's a reason I haven't said Ash or Pikachu for any of my favorite characters so far.
Right.
Because, you know, they're the Hatsune Miku of the show. So I can't pick them. Everybody knows them. Mm-hmm. But, I don't know. I mean, James's Weepin' Bell never fails to make me laugh. Whenever he brings him out. And, of course, his Wobbuffet also.
Oh, gosh. Just his Wobbuffet. I love Wobbuffet.
Who has that chest pin?
That would be Clamont.
His chesspin.
Because he's a greedy little
he's
Pokemon.
He's such a little butt. He's so mean.
Okay.
I can't remember. There was one episode that I saw, Black and White. I think Chespin had gotten into a fight with someone else, with her Axew, Iris's Axew. They got into a fight.
Oh, you mean, because Chespin wasn't in Black and White, so that would have to be...
Or was it Chespin? It might not have been Chespin, but okay. I remember Axew got in a fight with someone's little annoying, mean Pokemon, and I can't think if it was Chespin or somebody
was it
else.
Oshawott?
It was Oshawott.
Okay.
They have a
Ash
similar.
Oshawott.
They have a similar shape. Okay, yeah. They're both little otter things.
Ash is Oshawott. Okay. It's really hard to say.
Yes.
Ash is Oshawott. I love Ash is Oshawott.
Okay. I meant to say Ash is Oshawott, but Chespin was also a good character. But Ash is Oshawott, that is hard to say. Man.
Yeah.
Don't want to swear on your podcast.
Oh, gosh.
He is so mean. And I love him for it.
He is a little butt. But
he's genuinely rude.
And he flirts with every girl Pokemon that they meet.
That's probably why I like him.
He's
Brock.
Brock. Yeah, Ash got a Pokemon that's Brock. Yeah, I enjoyed him too. You should see when Dawn comes back in Black and White. And
she came back?
Yeah.
She now I gotta back. Watch it. Now I have a reason.
she comes back in one of the story arcs, and her Piplup and Ash's Oshawott are like these little rivals.
Of course.
And for that whole series, Meloetta follows Ash.
Oh dear.
And they both fight over Meloetta.
Of course they do.
Absolutely. They're fighting over her attention and just like they give her flowers and then Piplup like sprays it Oshawott's flowers and then gives her flowers and it's and then the best part though is the payoff at the end because Dawn's about to leave and of course Piplup has to come with Dawn and like Oshawott and like Piplup at first are just like, you know, whatever, just go.
Mm-hmm.
Go whatever. Go if you're going. And then just like they have this just moment of just like whatever and then they just turn to each other and just hug each other.
Aww, little boy.
And then then just Meloetta's just floating and just laughing at it. It's just hilarious.
Cute.
So it's a payoff that's absolutely hilarious. But I love Ash's Oshawott.
Yes.
What else?
Ash's Charizard.
Charizard, yeah. Oh, yeah. But he comes back, which is awesome.
Yes.
He's like a boomerang.
That's good.
Yeah.
I am not complaining.
All right. Any other Pokemon?
Well, I mean, it's obvious, but you gotta love Meowth.
Yeah, that's true.
Because, I mean, that episode about his backstory in Indigo League had me crying.
Oh, man.
Then again, I was, like, 5, so that's probably half the reason I was crying. But it touched me.
Yeah, Meowth is a really great character. I enjoy it. And in Black and White, he becomes a good guy for a couple episodes. So that's kind of interesting.
I think I might have actually seen those.
Mm-hmm. So I'm doing a whole advertisement for Black and White, which is probably what we're going to be doing next. So just so you know, I love Black and White. So I may not love the Ash and the companions, but I love everything that happens around them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of cool. All right. Well, I think that's all the questions I have. What about the movies? Oh, the movies.
Oh boy.
What about the movie? Have you seen all the movies?
I don't know if I've seen all of them, but I have seen the majority of them.
Okay, so what are your favorite movies? Okay. It's a hard choice, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it makes me cry just thinking about it, but the Lucario movie.
Oh, that's my favorite.
Oh my gosh. I was sobbing. I was crying, nice. like dry heaving, crying at the end. It was so upsetting.
And now she's pulling back tears now, folks.
Lucario.
Okay.
He's with his master again.
Oh gosh. All right. Well, so that you don't cry on the podcast, what other movies do you like?
I can't remember the names of all of them, but I remember, you know, the legendary Pokemons are involved. But the Latios and Latias movie was very good, and controversial for reasons that we all know and won't address.
I will address it real quick because I want to.
Okay.
Do you think that's Latias or
yes.
do you think it's
yes.
the girl?
Yes, it's Latias. Ash kissed a Pokemon.
Well, technically he didn't kiss her. She kissed him.
They still kiss.
It's true. Can you believe that the only time he's ever been kissed is in the movies? He's been kissed twice.
Twice? What was the first time?
The first time was Pokemon the movie 2000.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
It was long ago.
He meets a girl on the island, and he kisses her in front of... she kisses him in front of Misty to make Misty jealous.
Ooh.
So.
Whiteys, please.
So, yeah. Okay. What other movies do you like?
What was that one? It was, Palkia and Diago were in it. And time and space were
that
just completely asunder.
Darkrai. It was either Darkrai.
Oh, yeah, Darkrai. Yeah. Because he had his little friendship with Dawn, and that warmed my heart.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because there was three movies. They were all like a little trilogy. They had Darkrai, they had Shaman, they had Giratina and the Sky Warrior, and then they had the Arceus movie.
Yeah, I didn't see the Arceus one, but I saw the other two, and I thought they were amazing.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, cool. Have you seen Deonce? Have you seen Deonce? The movie with Deonce yet?
I haven't, no.
Okay, alright. Have you seen the black and white movies?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Actually. Right. I dropped off at Gen 5.
Okay.
And then I came back.
Now you gotta catch up.
Yeah. Right. I saw Scolipede and I snuck back in.
His voice is really weird, but it's funny. All right, then. It is time now to go into our episode today. So thank you very much, YB, for joining me.
Yes, anytime.
For this. And we can't wait to see you in the 20th anniversary.
I can't wait to be there.
Woo!
Yeah!
Come on, Mom. There's nothing to worry about.
When you tell me there's nothing to worry about, then that's when I worry the most. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, YB123, for helping us out with the fun facts for the episode. And now it's time to actually talk about this episode. And I didn't want to do this alone, so I invited another special guest to the podcast. And the other special guest to this podcast is, of course, my partner in crime, Danny, the ultrasonic player.
Happening on Canada. Danny, how's it going,
man? I am doing all right, my friend. I'm doing all right. You ready to get into this episode?
Yeah.
All
ready and willing.
Great. So, in case you didn't hear before, this episode's title is...
The Joy of Pokemon!
All right. So, as we start off the episode, we started off just as usual. And, of course, that is our heroes are now riding on Lapras, and they're going to another island. And as they are doing this, Ash is shining his GS ball, because, of course, that's a thing. The GS ball is a thing, just so you know. Yeah. It's a thing.
Yes, it is a thing.
And as he's doing that, Misty is playing with Togepi. They're all kind of just sitting there relaxing. I believe it's Tracy sees something in the distance, and he doesn't know exactly what it is, because it's moving at, like, top speed, and it's heading right for them. And, you know, as of the, you know, shell-shocked, you know, they're kind of wondering if they're going to be hit by a boat again. So, you know, they're kind of like, what's going on? What's happening? And before they can even react to what's about to happen, this thing goes straight by them at top speed, and as it's going by... Tracy notices the two passengers. Ash and Misty really couldn't see who it was, but Tracy is like, that is a Nurse Joy and her Chansey, and they're on a kayak, and they're headed to that island. And Ash is like, alright, let's go to that island. And so they all go to said island, and they find the kayak, which is empty, and Tracy notices in the sand that there's a footprint, a Chansey footprint, and a woman's footprint. And even knows the size of the shoe and everything. He's like a Sherlock, this guy, right?
Yeah, he really is. It's like somebody's able to just know everything down to the last detail just by looking at the footprint, and he knows exactly, you know, foot size, with long shoes, with everything.
This guy is like a MacGyver of sorts. He's like good at like everything.
Yeah. Well, he's a Pokemon watcher, so I guess.
All right, so they all decide to follow her, and they follow these footprints, and so they follow the footprints all the way to this cliff where there's a little part, pretty much the other side of the island, pretty much. And they're standing there, and they're kind of debating whether what they saw was actually Nurse Joy or not. They weren't terribly certain exactly what happened. But before they could really get into this debate, what shows up but a giant Magikarp who leaps out of the water and lands right onto the shore. Now, this is a pretty big Magikarp, because Magikarp aren't really that big. And even Tracy remarks that even at their biggest, Magikarp cannot be this big. This thing is huge! It's huge! It's almost as big as Team Rocket's sub, this thing.
Yeah, because it completely surprises you, because usually when you think of Magikarp, you think of these small, kind of usual normal-sized, fish Pokemon. But this one's just like, it's almost a mutant, practically.
I know, right?
It's crazy.
It's absolutely insane. Now, this Magikarp is kind of flailing on the ground, and Ash and Company decide to kind of put this Magikarp back in the water. However, they can't approach the Magikarp because it's flailing violently, and it's not allowing them to get near it, because of course the Magikarp will probably hurt everyone trying to get it, because of how violently it's kind of just flopping around. And so they're kind of in a jam here. They want to help this Magikarp, but it won't stop flailing. And then all of a sudden, this Nurse Joy shows up. Now, let me give you a little picture of this Nurse Joy. Now, usually, Nurse Joy is very pale, kind of palish. Would you say pale a little bit?
Yeah.
Usually pale. They have pink hair, and they have their hair usually comes in like little loops. And this Nurse Joy, I would say probably they're... what? Maybe 4 feet, some odd? Maybe 5 feet tall? What would you say?
They're usually not super tall. They're usually just, I wouldn't say petite, but just average height.
Right, average woman's height. So, so this Nurse Joy shows up, and she is towering over even Tracy, pretty much. I would say that she's, maybe almost 6 feet tall?
Yeah, I would say.
Okay, all right.
Put her around that much.
All right, continuing to paint this picture of this Nurse Joy. So she's a little taller. They say she's a little muscular, but it doesn't really look like she is. Did she look more muscular to you?
She did not, but I guess the idea would be that if they actually did show her a little bit more buff, then it would be a bit of a disconnect.
Right.
So, but I guess when you see how she moves, how she acts, and of course her being panned up as she is, you get a sense that this is a Nurse Joy who's more of a go-get'em and not so much a passive. Nurse Joy. This is a more proactive one.
Right, and you did come up with the next point. She is very tan. I would say she's very caramel colored, where most Nurse Joys are a little pale, kind of a pale white. She's very like caramel colored, almost.
Yeah.
As you can tell, she's been around.
Yeah, she's been around, because even though, granted, when you look at it, it does look as though she has just given herself a spray tan, but I guess they probably maybe couldn't figure out a way to kind of make the character tan more than what you expect. And again, like you said, it's pretty much, the idea is that this is someone who's obviously, maybe not a local, or maybe not someone born in the Orange Islands, but somebody who's clearly been around there long enough to just have been under the sun for so long while she's doing her thing, taking care of the Pokemon. And I guess with that, all those things kind of giving us this idea of just a strong, both emotionally but also a physically strong character, as we see later on in the episode.
Yeah, and she also is like wearing like a, it looks like a tracksuit. Looks like something that people would wear to like some of those marathons. If you've ever watched like people go to like these marathons, they wear this like running suit. It almost looks like she's wearing one of, it's not, I guess it's supposed to be like a scuba diver suit, but it doesn't when I saw it, it doesn't necessarily look like that. It looked more like a, like someone would wear at a marathon or something like that. She's wearing this kind of like blue and yellow, just suit on. So anyways, she comes up and says to get back from Magikarp, she'll take care of it. Now she walks up to the Magikarp. Immediately the Magikarp stops flailing around and is calm and nice. And Nurse Joy asks how Magikarp is doing. And she automatically already knows what is wrong with this Magikarp. He needs some calcium tablets. So Chansey gets calcium tablets and gives it to Magikarp. And then, to the surprise of everybody, Nurse Joy then picks up this giant Magikarp right above her head and throws it right into the ocean.
that one completely caught me by surprise. When I first saw the episode, I thought, oh, well, maybe she'd be able to move the Magikarp, back into the, just push the Magikarp gently across the shore, back into the water, and then that would be that. But when she did that, I'm like, holy moly, what's going on? This is not Nurse Joy.
No, not your typical Nurse Joy. And I will also have to say that it's also kind of scary that Tracy knows, just by looking at Nurse Joy, how tall she is, how much she probably weighs, and just by looking at her, it's almost kind of scary.
Yeah.
But we've touched on Tracy's kind of secret, infatuation with Nurse Joy before, and Officer Jenny. So he kind of has that thing, same thing going that that Brock always had, I guess. But it's more subtle than just flat out, oh, he likes these girls, So it's a little more subtle than that. So
yeah, that's a good thing.
But it kind of almost scared me a little bit that he could just look at this girl and automatically know exactly how tall she was, exactly like what shoe size she would wear, and it weirded me out a little bit. But, hey, whatever. He's a Pokemon watcher. That's his job. And, I guess that's just the way he works. So, anyways, so the Magikarp, who is now in the water, kind of thanks Nurse Joy by shooting hearts at her. How this works, we don't know. He's shooting hearts at her, and she blows him a kiss back. And the Magikarp kind of blushes a little bit. How, again, we don't know. But then he goes in the water, and off he goes. From there, Misty is kind of wondering if Nurse Joy kind of has a Pokemon Center nearby, if that's where she came from. And right away, Tracy says, oh no, this Nurse Joy goes from island to island. You can kind of just tell that she's not strapped to a specific Pokemon Center. And Nurse Joy kind of confirms this by saying, oh, yeah, that's what I do. I go from island to island, and there's a lot of small islands that are going all throughout the Orange Islands. And she just kind of is just a nurse who kind of helps out smaller islands who don't have a Pokemon Center, who need to have healed Pokemon, which makes sense. It makes perfect sense, right?
Yeah, it really does, because, again, given that we are pretty much in an island, region, basically, it really does make sense for there to be smaller islands to where, as Nurse Joy says, the smaller the island, the less chances there is of a Pokemon Center, let alone, anything, being a quasi-equivalent of that. So it's good to see that there's a Nurse Joy that decides to go ahead and do that to help out. And it really does make sense. Especially considering the region that Ashlyn's friends are at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I totally agree. So Tracy gets all excited and starts sketching Nurse Joy and calls her the Pokemon's Florence Nightingale. which is a kind of a real world reference, which is kind of weird in a way. It's almost as weird as in, we'll see this in 20th anniversary, but there's a scene in the first movie where Brock says, I didn't know Vikings were still around, and Ash says, they mostly live in Minnesota. Now, this is kind of, again, another real world reference that kind of, in the Pokemon world, just kind of, it's kind of weird to hear it.
Yeah, it really does. But I guess if that's supposed to be like a either like a tongue-in-cheek reference or just a little something, you know, thrown in there just to get a little bit of a chuckle for anybody, well, for those who get the reference, then okay. Of course, granted, now, I really didn't pick up on that reference until years later, and now, of course, you know, having seen, you know, Back to the Future and, you know, the episode again, you know, just recently, yeah, I'm like, oh yeah, that would make sense. So, but yeah, I'm going to take a guess and say that was probably, like I said, I'll say that that's more of a tongue-in-cheek reference.
Yeah,
and of course, those who get it will go, oh, yeah.
I get it now. But it's still kind of weird that in this world that they would make these references to the real world in the Pokemon world. But I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
All right, so then Ash and company, they introduce themselves to Nurse Joy. And as they're introducing themselves, what would happen? But, of course, Ash's tummy growls, and he's starving. And so Nurse Joy invites them to a clinic that she has on the island and to eat some lunch. So they go with Nurse Joy, they eat some lunch, and as they're sitting there eating, Tracy kind of proposes to everyone that they should help out Nurse Joy because Nurse Joy has freely given them lunch and kind of a place to hang out for a little bit while they're on this island, and he feels it's only right that they would help her out as she's helping out other Pokemon. Which, again, makes sense. It's very much in his character. It's very much in our hero's character that they want to help out. So everyone agrees, and so they go run outside and find Nurse Joy kind of giving a checkup to Ash's Lapras. And she's giving this checkout to Lapras, and Chansey gives Lapras some vitamins. And Ash is kind of worried a little bit, like, oh, is there something wrong with my Lapras? And Nurse Joy's like, no, she's fine. She just needs to, whatever Lapras. I'm not even sure we know what gender Lapras is, do you?
No, I mean, not really, no.
Okay, well, anyways.
It's not mentioned, but we just know that the Lapras, that Ash's Lapras is a kid.
Okay, so, anyways, Lapras just needs to rest a little bit in his Pokeball, and so that's what he does. I think this also gives the premise that Ash doesn't use Lapras. There's parts in the episode where I'm like, well, shouldn't he just use Lapras? And this kind of gives volition to the fact that he needs to keep Lapras and the Pokeball to rest so that way they can sail to other islands. So that's why he doesn't pull out Lapras at any point throughout this whole episode. So go ahead.
It definitely makes sense, and I like that Ash actually, you know, he pretty much says, oh no, Lapras gets the rest, so we'll find another way, you know, that kind of vibe, which is pretty cool. I mean, it's very consistent with who Ash is, and it really just helps him develop as a character, or at least as much as he's able to.
All right, so then, of course, Ash and company go to Nurse Joy, and Tracy kind of heads up this whole thing and says, hey, you've helped us out a great deal. We want to help you out. We want to go help you out, you know, as you make these house calls, if you will, to different islands. And so Nurse Joy agrees. And so they then decide to go out there and kind of help out Nurse Joy and do all this stuff that she does. So then we're hit with a montage of different things that Ash and Nurse Joy and everyone else do. But before we do that, we see them in the kayaks, and they're trying to keep pace with Nurse Joy. Nurse Joy says to keep a steady pace, but then, like, goes off like a shot. Everyone else is just having this hard time catching up. And then, of course, we're hit with the montage with Ash and company doing all these different things with Nurse Joy and trying to help these Pokemon. One of the ones that I thought was actually kind of sad looking was there's a scene in one of the in the montage where there's this huge line of people and their Pokemon, and they're all sick or they're injured or something's happened to them. Like, wow, there's a lot of injured Pokemon. And Nurse Joy's kind of like taking them one by one and just kind of making sure they're okay. Another one, I believe, was they were trying to treat an Onix. And it looked like Nurse Joy was trying to give Onix a shot. A shot of something. And yeah. My question was, how in the world would you give Onix a shot?
I don't know. I think that's just one of those things where you have to kind of suspend disbelief because, considering what type Onix is, you have to have something. I mean, maybe Nurse Joy has something that can actually penetrate the rock hard skin of an Onix. But I guess that'd be a little bit. That would be a little bit too much of a stretch, I guess. I mean, even though you could easily just go ahead and give Onix like a medicine or a vitamin capsule or something like that, But I guess, I don't know. I didn't notice that until you just mentioned that.
Yeah.
I thought
that was hilarious. I was like, I had to stop and look at it. Nurse Joy has a syringe in her hand. And she's trying to give Onix this shot, and Onix just won't sit still. But my first question was, how in the world is she going to give this giant rock snake a shot?
Yeah, I mean, if nothing else, it probably just one of those things where, as the audience, let's try not to think too much about it.
Yeah.
Put too much logic into it, I guess.
Well,
it would have been fine though if it was just showing her giving Onix like a medicine capsule,
I don't remember if this is from watching the Dex or I don't remember, but there is an animal very similar to Onix where it's rock on the outside and once you open the rock there's guts and whatnot inside, and I, for the life of me, I can't remember the animal's name. It's very similar to that, so I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
All right. So after the montage is over, Ash and company are trying to catch up with Nurse Joy again, and they come up to Nurse Joy's kayak, and it's empty. Now they're all starting to panic a little bit, and Tracy kind of imagines this whole scenario of a Gyarados who is attacked. The kayak and flipped her over, and she's now adrift somewhere, and so he decides he wants to go save her. Well, just as Tracy and them are deciding what to do, they see a pink thing come to the surface of the water. Now, at first, we all think it's Chansey, who is resurfacing from the water. But no, it's not Chansey. Oh, no. Who is it?
Nope.
Jigglypuff. Who tries to sing,
yeah.
And then everyone panics and paddles as fast as they can away from Jigglypuff, leaving Jigglypuff very perturbed and also alone, which she should be alone.
I didn't see that coming until I saw it, and then I'm like, oh, quick, grab your paddles and get out of there.
Yeah.
Hopefully Jigglypuff doesn't know how to swim as fast as
they're
Joy.
Right. And so you can tell that they pretty much were paddling until they couldn't paddle anymore. They're all tired, they're all pooped, and they just all just stop in this random area. And just as they have stopped and they're kind of just relieved of the fact that they got away from Jigglypuff before she started singing, out of the water comes another pink thing. And this pink thing is, of course, Chansey. And, of course, after Chansey pops up, Nurse Joy pops up with her. And Tracy calls out to Nurse Joy and says, hey, we're very worried about you. We weren't sure what happened to you. And Nurse Joy kind of apologizes and said that she was down underwater treating a injured Cloyster, and the tide kind of pushed her away from the kayak, which I guess makes sense. And this kind of impresses Ash and goes, well, how in the world could you treat animals underwater? And she's like, well, you want to come see? And Tracy and Ash are like, yeah. So somehow they get into a bathing suit. I don't know how that happens because they're on a kayak. But somehow they got into their bathing suit. They jump in the water and follow Nurse Joy down as she's treating a shelter. Who apparently is sick or something. I don't know what happened to her. It's sick. Let's just assume that it's sick. And she's treating this, and as she's treating this, Tracy's kind of just standing there watching Nurse Joy, kind of very impressed by what she does. Here's my question, and I wrote this down in my notes. Why didn't Misty go down with him?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
One would think that considering, you know, Misty, you know, being, you know, from a, you know, being, you know, one of several gym leaders at a certain, gym that specializes with water Pokemon, and water Pokemon being Misty's specialty, one would think she'd be probably the first one right down there in the thick of it with them. But, you know, that was a little strange.
I really thought that was kind of weird. I mean, the only thing I could really think of is that because she's a water Pokemon expert, she kind of already knows how to do this, and also the fact of someone had to stay behind and watch the boat, the kayaks, so they don't get pushed away by the tide. But those are the only two things I could think of. Other than that, I'm like, why didn't Misty go down with them? I don't know. Maybe they were saving on animation. They want four different people down underwater. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's anybody's guess. I mean, but that was a little strange.
Right.
You know, I didn't really even think about it until that moment. Like, wait a minute. Misty's supposed to be right down there.
As Tracy is kind of admiring Nurse Joy and what she's doing, Ash is sitting there, and all of a sudden, he's gasping for air. He's trying to, he's losing oxygen. He needs oxygen. And so he tries to raise to the surface. As he's doing so, a dugong who has been playing in the background of the shot comes up and grabs Ash and starts playing with him. Now, the dugong obviously doesn't know that Ash is trying to get up to the surface. Now, we don't exactly know what actually transpired, because the next scene is them on the shore and Ash in a blanket sipping some hot cocoa or something, some tea probably. We don't know what happened. We don't know how Nurse Joy got dugong away from Ash and how she got him to the surface before he drowned to death. We don't know. We don't know. We don't know what happened. It's up to the audience's imagination, which in some cases I kind of like that.
Yeah, me too. Because I think in that instance we don't really need to know how Ash was able to get back up to the surface and back to Nurse Joy's little cabin. Only that, you know, they were able to get to him in time. Although I'm surprised that that the dugong didn't notice that. Oh yeah, this guy is running out of air, and if he doesn't get to the surface, he's going to drown, you're busy playing with him.
Well, it makes sense to me only because this is an animal. You know, this is an animal, and animals don't understand sometimes the difference between playing and putting somebody in danger. Sometimes it's like when you have a dog.
That's true.
When you have a dog, and the dog, you're playing with the dog, and he starts biting you. At first, it's a nip, but then he starts biting you harder. He doesn't understand that. The dog doesn't understand that he's hurting you. He just thinks he's playing. And I think that's the same with this dugong. Is he doesn't understand what's going on. It's just he's just an animal who, you know, he just wants to play. You know, and he's not doing it maliciously. It's just he's just a friendly Pokemon who just wants to play and didn't realize that he was about to drown him. You know.
Yeah,
so
that's true. Yeah.
It happens. So it's believable.
Yeah.
So we're back on another island, and apparently Nurse Joy has houses everywhere. She must be rich, I guess, or something.
Yeah.
Because it seems like she has like a little house everywhere on these chain of islands. And so they're in this little hut. Ash is, again, covered in a blanket, drinking some tea. Nurse Joy kind of apologizes and tells him that, you know, reassures him, don't be mad at the dugong. He was just playing. He wasn't trying to maliciously hurt you. And Ash is like, yeah, that's okay. Things happen. And Tracy then bluntly asks why Nurse Joy doesn't work in a Pokemon Center. Why does she... Wouldn't it be just easier to work at a Pokemon Center? And I don't think Nurse Joy ever really answers the question straight off. She's like, yeah, I guess it would be kind of easier, but she goes into this kind of flashback, this little story about how when she was a little girl, she found this little tiny Magikarp kind of beached on the beach. So she takes it home and nurses it back to health, and then puts it back in the ocean after it's healed, and this kind of makes her want to heal Pokemon. And then later on, when she's a little older, she goes on vacation with all of her cousins and aunts and, you know, everyone that looks like Nurse Joy.
Yeah, that was pretty fun.
It's a boat full of joy. It's a joyful boat. You see the one
that's
there, yeah. We'll get more into that a little bit later on at near the end of the podcast. I want to talk a little bit about some fun facts that I learned about Nurse Joy. But for right now, so we're in this little story, and we find out that she was on the back of this boat, and she was playing. Here's the weirdest thing, and this happens several times in this episode. They show real fish, not fake fish. These are real fish. These are not Pokemon. They're real fish that you can find in the ocean.
Huh.
And that's kind of weird. This is and they do this twice in the... once in this episode, and they do it in another episode coming up, where they show actual real fish. Not Pokemon. Real fish.
Yeah, that was a little strange.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were just cut for time or money.
But this is not the first time they've shown real fish. They have shown real fish prior to this in several episodes, including the episode where they're on the SSM. Ash looks out the window into the ocean and sees real fish. So, is there real fish in the Pokemon world?
That's a good question. I guess if you have nothing else to work with, you can just go ahead and put random animals right there, or, you know, actual, you know, real life animals in there in certain scenes, and I guess if it's just quick, then the audience won't pay too much attention to that, I guess. But I don't know. I mean, I guess. But then again, you know, those of us who look at it now go, wait a minute, hold on a second. I mean, because.
Well, you also have to remember they only have 150 Pokemon right now, and that's really not enough to fill an entire world with animals, because there's a lot more species of animals in our world than there is in the Pokemon world, because there's only 720, and that's a drop in the bucket compared to how many animals there are on the real world. So I don't know.
Sure.
But let's go on. Oh, by the way, if you want to answer this, if you're listening right now, you want to answer this, please feel free to comment below. Let us know what you think. If you think that there are real fish in this world, there's actual real animals, we'd like to know. All right. So anyways, Nurse Joy, as a young kid, is playing with this fish, these real fish, and she falls overboard into the water. The Nurse Joys then go to action, and they're about to jump off the boat to try to save her. But the Magikarp that she saved when she was younger actually ends up saving her. Now, this Magikarp, again, is not as huge as we first see it, but it is a big Magikarp.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, it's a big Magikarp, but not as big as we saw it when we were introduced to it at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah.
So he saves her, and this Nurse Joy kind of says that this is kind of the thing that made her want to become a nurse and become this person who goes around and helps other Pokemon. That this was kind of her thing. And then Misty asks if that Magikarp that saved her was the same Magikarp that she brought back to health. And she said yes. And Tracy says, well, this is kind of an example of how, you know, people in Pokemon can be friends for years throughout their entire lives, which is kind of like a little moment. All right,
yeah,
so
that was pretty cool. That was a nice little touch. I like that.
Storm's rolling in. We have the wind. We have the picking up, and it's blowing the trees. And we are on the beach now. And Nurse Joy is about to go out there because I don't know if she got a call or if she just knows. Maybe she has some kind of powers. I don't know. But somehow she knows that some seal needs some help, and she needs to go help him out. No, you know what? She says that this is her last round, so I'm guessing she has rounds that she does. So she goes around maybe like a circle into different places, and this is the last stop. And because of Ash, she's running a little bit behind, which Ash apologizes for and says, no, it's okay. When dealing with Pokemon, you got to be ready for anything, so it's not a big deal. I'm going to go out there and help these seal. And Tracy's like, no, you can't go out there. You know what this wind means. You know the hurricane's coming. You've got to stay here where it's safe. And Nurse Joy's like, nah, I got this. And jumps in her kayak and starts paddling away. So, of course, Tracy being Tracy decides to go help him out. And, of course, Ash says, well, I'm going to follow him. And Missy's like, okay, well, if you're going, I'm going. And so they all start following Nurse Joy. Now, Nurse Joy is paddling out in the middle of the ocean. The waves are getting really rough. The storm is getting bad. And we see Ash and company have finally caught up with her. She's like, surprised, what are you doing here? Why are you out here? And before they can give out an answer, a giant wave picks up all three of their kayaks, flips them over. And actually, Ash and company get airborne for a little bit, and they fall in the water. Now, they're fine, but, you know, they're still caught in the water, and Nurse Joy says, you know, let out your water Pokemon, and we'll go to, there's a small island nearby, we'll swim there. So they let out each of their Pokemon. Ash lets out Squirtle, Tracy lets out Meryl, and then Misty calls Staryu, but of course, the minute she calls Staryu, who also pops out, but Psyduck, who can't swim. We've already dealt with that, so let's move on. So they then get to this small island where they're resting, and they apologize to Nurse Joy for kind of putting her back on, you know, back again, because they were trying to help her, and, you know, they didn't realize that she's a professional at this, I guess. And then finally, I was wondering when this was going to happen, and there were points in this episode where I thought this was going to happen, and I was like, well, this is going to happen. No, it didn't happen. All right. Now it's going to happen. No, that didn't happen. All right. And, of course, what is that? Team Rocket's intro. Man, this intro came very late in the episode, like extremely
really
late. Jesse decides to do a full frontal assault and to catch Pikachu. And Meowth says, well, isn't that Chansey? And Jesse replies, yes, that is Chansey, and we're going to catch her too. I was like, oh gosh, guys, come on. So Meowth is confident that they're going to win this time, that he has a new weapon. And out of the Magikarp sub comes a giant net, which lands on our heroes and captures all of them. Now, of course, Team Rocket decides to do their motto, as usual.
Yep.
And, you know, Team Rocket, you know, Ash is like, what are you guys doing here? Go away. We don't need you. And James does this kind of poem about, you know, as long as Pikachu's with you, we're going to stick to you like glue, which is really just strange out of nowhere. Of course, they do talk in rhymes a lot, so I guess I'm not completely surprised. But at the same time, it's like, okay, yeah, whatever. they're captured in here, and we don't really know what is their plan for them? They caught all of these people. They caught both Pokemon and people in net. Are they going to drag them behind this Magikarp sub? How is this going to work?
What is the next part of the plan here? Maybe they just decide to where they'd be like, well, you know what, we're just going to do this, and then we'll just make up the rest as we go along. Or at least that's what it seems like it might do. I mean, I don't know, because obviously their only real big plan was just to catch Pikachu and of course, Chansey.
And for some reason, Chansey, because that was a joke. Yeah. Anyways, we then go to Nurse Joy, who is worrying about the seal, and she knows that these seal are counting on her to be there, and she wants to get to them, and she kind of just like calls out for like help, anyone help us, and who would appear but of course that giant Magikarp, and the Magikarp hits the sub, and kind of knocks Team Rocket off. So you know, Meowth is like, just let him tackle it. He's not gonna break the sub. So Magikarp starts tackling the sub and continues to tackle it, but ends up hurting himself because the sub is actually really, really hard. Now,
yeah.
Nurse Joy calls out to Magikarp, and like, you see tears in her eye kind of go towards Magikarp. And then Magikarp starts glowing, and of course we all know what happens next. Magikarp evolves. Now, this giant Magikarp evolves into a regular-sized Gyarados.
I guess with that, it's one of those things where, you know, if you, if Magikarp had already gotten that big, I figure that Gyarados would just be too huge. It would dwarf, you know, the rest of the other Gyarados. And I guess they just didn't want to go that route.
Well, anyways.
I don't know. I mean, I guess cartoon logic.
Yeah, cartoon logic. Why not?
Too much of it.
Why not? All right. So then, of course, Gyarados easily defeats Team Rocket, knocks them away, which is probably like the quickest showing of Team Rocket I've probably seen in an episode. They were kind of came in, they left, and they were gone. Gyarados turns to everyone in the net. And at first, you think Gyarados is angry and is about to attack them, but then Gyarados comes down to Nurse Joy and basically just wants a hug from Nurse Joy. And it pulls off the net off of everybody. And then Nurse Joy finally does get to the seal and starts nursing him back to health. And, of course, Ash and them are helping out. And finally, Nurse Joy kind of thanks Ash and them for helping and tells Ash about the island closer to them has a gym badge. It's called Naval Island, and this gets Ash all fired up, and he decides to go ahead and leave towards Naval Island. And that's pretty much the episode. There is a little scene of like Tracy being, oh, this is so wonderful, the people of Pokemon work together, but you know what. So that's pretty much the episode. All right, my friend, time for our pros and cons. Are you ready?
Yep, ready.
All right. Do you want to go first or you want me to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, okay. So for my pros, I like the fact that we get introduced to a character who is familiar yet not familiar in this Junior Joy. You know, she's obviously, you know, lived on the Orange Islands for a long time, and she obviously is not your typical Nurse Joy, to where, you know, because I mean, this isn't to knock the other Nurse Joys down, but I mean, because I don't want it to sound like as though the other Nurse Joys are porcelain dolls, because they're obviously not, but this Nurse Joy seems more of a go-get'em, you know, really out, really, you know, proactive type of Nurse Joy. That isn't something you see with the other one. But it makes sense for the story that she'd be like that because, you know, given the fact that the Orange Islands, you know, it's a pretty big region and a lot of the islands aren't actually so big enough to have their own Pokemon Center. So it really does make a lot of sense for her to be able to travel around and really just, you know, offer as much medical help to both Pokemon that are wild, as well as Pokemon that actually have trainers, as much as you possibly can. And the fact that that it all goes back to when she was a little girl, and she had met, and she, you know, found this little injured Magikarp and took care of him, or until she released it back into the wild. That was a nice little, I don't know if you can call it a character moment, but definitely something really special, and definitely that, it was nice, because you get to see, like, okay, she didn't just become a Pokemon, you know, nurse just for the sake of it. She actually became one because, you know, she had come to aid of a Pokemon many years back, and that was pretty much the impetus for her to go ahead and do what she's doing now. And also, on a smaller note, I do like the fact that they basically gave, you know, Tracy, showing that he does have some observational skills, and in regards to, even if it's only towards, you know, little things like Nurse Joy's shoe size and Chansey's foot. And I also like the fact that, they show that Tracy clearly may have a little bit of a thing for Nurse Joy, but like you said, unlike a certain other, hero that we know, he's not blatantly obvious about it. It's a lot more subtle and a lot more subdued, but you can tell the attraction is clearly there, or at least him being, you know, quite taken with it. And I like that.
Awesome.
And also like how Magikarp somehow was able to because it seems like Magikarp, you know, because usually when you think of that, you know, players who know Magikarp, they, basically for the most part, when you first catch a Magikarp, unfortunately, Pokemon is sadly kind of useless at first, but only at first. But he clearly can tell that, obviously, this Nurse Joy really took care of the Pokemon and really gave it a lot of affection and genuine love. And basically, that's the basic idea behind it, behind a Pokemon that doesn't have anybody, as opposed to a Pokemon who does. And that, because of that, they're actually able to be a lot more stronger and a lot more, and just, they're able to be at more close to their potential than they normally would be if they were just, you know, just a Pokemon out in the wild with no. And I think that because Magikarp quite literally grew as big as it did, really was a result of Nurse Joy just, you know, taking care of it, even though obviously it's not her Pokemon to say, in the sense that, you know, that she has a Pokeball and keeps the Magikarp in there. But I have to admit, it was pretty interesting. When Magikarp evolved into Gyarados and Kakiro Team Rocket, I really was a little bit afraid myself that Gyarados was going to attack us, because, you know, it was what happened to Ash's Charmander, you know, and what happened there, you know, when it evolved into Charmeleon and then Charizard, you know, the Pokemon went from being this, you know, friendly team player to really just being this, you know, this Pokemon with an attitude.
Right. Let me ask you a question real quick. We've talked about this in the podcast before, and I still think it's really weird, but it is part of the anime, so I do want to talk about it real quick. Do you think this Magikarp is another case of a Pokemon falling in love with a human? Because we've seen that several times throughout the episode, throughout the series of Pokemon. Ash's Chikorita, in Black and White, they meet Meloetta, who kind of falls in love with Ash. We find Pokemon like, I'm trying to feel some other one. I mean, some people can say Latias and the Heroes episode. These Pokemon kind of have these kind of weird romantic feelings for people, which, in, even Meowth too, there's an episode in I believe it's the Johto Journeys, when they go to Johto, where Meowth meets this human girl. And kind of falls in love with this human girl. Do you think this is another case of that, or do you think it's more of a you know, you've taken care of me, so I'm just gonna kind of be your guardian angel kind of thing?
That's a good question. I mean, I'm not really sure if
hard question. If
that's because that is a hard question. I mean, I wouldn't want to say that it's Pokemon Pokemon falling in love with a human. But then again, I guess we can say that because of what we end up seeing later on, you know, in the season, and later season, and series, and of course in a few movies. But I don't know, I guess, to me, I guess it'd be more of a mixture of a Pokemon just being, you know, affectionate towards a human. I guess the best way to put it would be the equivalent of like a dog, like a puppy, you know, from growing up from a puppy to a dog, and just being very affectionate towards his or her master.
Okay, that makes sense. So you don't feel it's kind of like Ash's Chikorita or anything like that. You just feel it's more like they've grown up together, so they have almost like a family type relationship.
For me, I'll just put it in the context of, you know, when the episode came out, and just, you know, my own opinions, or, you know, in comparison to, you know, like regular, you know, domesticated pets that grow up with their masters and whatnot.
Right. Okay.
Everything else.
All right.
So I'll just put it like that.
All right. Any other pros you want to throw out?
I think one final pro would pretty much be that Team Rocket did not have as much screen time as they normally would. And I think for this story, it worked.
Okay.
Because this is more about really just, you know, Ash and his friends getting to know this new Nurse Joy and what she does and everything else that really, you know, you could easily just take out, you know, the Team Rocket scene, which really wasn't very long anyway, and you really wouldn't miss anything in the episode. You really wouldn't. But again, for this story, I actually didn't mind the fact that there weren't really that many, you know, that there was very little Team Rocket in this episode. I actually really liked it.
Okay. All right. Well then, let me go with my pro. I liked this story about Nurse Joy. Now, I've truly believed that the whole fact that this show has Nurse Joy is kind of a reference to the video game. Because in the original game, and actually pretty much every game since, if you go to the Pokemon Center, it's the same person at the counter every single time.
Yeah.
I think that's a reference. I think the fact that there's Nurse Joys in every place you go to, and they all look very similar, is kind of a nod to the video game. And it's kind of like an inside joke for those of us who played the game, and it's like, oh, okay, I get it, because they're all the same. So I think that's really cool. But what I love about this is that they give Nurse Joy, the Nurse Joys that they meet, different personalities. Not every single Nurse Joy is the same, pretty much. You know, for ones that are part of a story, they like to give them personality. And you even get to find more about these different Nurse Joys. And even in Diamond and Pearl, one of the things that blew my mind, absolutely blew my mind, is when we find out that Joy is actually their last name. That Nurse Joy's last name is Joy. And we find out that out in that episode in Diamond and Pearl, where Brock, Dawn, and Ash come across a younger Nurse Joy, like a kid, and then a teenager Nurse Joy, and then an adult Nurse Joy, and then they find out that Nurse Joy is actually married, and these are her kids. So we find out that Joy is actually their last name. So that's kind of interesting. So it's kind of neat to know that each of these characters have different personalities, even though they look the same.
I always like that. I really did. But I have to admit, them, Joy being their last name and not their first, that was pretty... That I did not even think of.
Yeah. Yeah, that really blew my mind. That literally blew my mind. I had to stop and rewind and go, what? Yep, so that little revelation was kind of interesting. So, I like this episode in that you also have a little bit of character. You learn more about the character. You care more about the character of Nurse Joy, although it's a very short scene, very short episode. I think that's really the only thing I liked about this episode. Let's go into the cons, and I'll go first with the cons.
Yeah, go ahead.
The thing I disliked about this is, again, it's another throwaway episode. You do not have to watch this episode to get to where we're going. You know, we're trying to follow Ash through the Orange Islands as he goes to the different gyms. And we've kind of lost that the last couple of episodes, because I think it was episode 3 when he got his first gym badge, and now we're episode, 11? And he has not got another gym badge at all. We have kind of even completely forgot the fact that he's, you know, going for these gym badges. And they haven't really even set anything up necessarily either with this story. It's just kind of these just random episodes. So that was my only real con for this episode, is that it's another throwaway episode. It's not important. And a lot of times these episodes, if you're marathoning the show, these episodes tend to go, okay, come on, you know, we need to move on here. So it's kind of infuriating sometimes, because they throw so many of these episodes. And like, I keep bringing this up, and I'll bring it up again. I liked Black and White because through that entire series, even if they had throwaway episodes, they would throw something in there, in those throwaway episodes, to kind of go, oh, what's this going to be? What is this part of? You know, to kind of keep you wanting to watch the episodes and keeping you wanting to watch that story arc. So I really did enjoy that. So who knows? Maybe Black and White's the next series we're going to do after Orange Islands. I don't know. But I think that's my only real con for this episode is, again, it's another throwaway episode. It's not important to the story. To the story as a whole, as a story arc. Is it a fun episode? Yeah. I had fun with it. It's a good episode. I just don't feel that it's important. Now, does it grow the world and the mythology a little bit? Yeah. Yeah, it does. But it's not important to the story. And as an overarching story, I just kind of want to get back to the gym battles.
Yeah, I get what you mean. It really is. It really can be like the throwaway episode, because it's like, you know. Yeah. You gotta get
that. What's your con?
Yeah, for me, you know, it's funny. I don't really have that many cons. I mean, for me, the only real con it is a throwaway episode, because you have an episode that really doesn't tie in with what's going on, let alone, you know, tying into what Ash, you know, wants to do, which is, you know, get enough badges to compete in the Orange League.
Right.
And that's pretty much it. But of course, in this episode, you're right. We don't get that.
Right.
But I mean, I guess if you can put it, for me, I always look at these episodes, even back then and even now, it's sort of like just as their own standalone episode.
Uh-huh.
Where they're not completely that important to the main storyline.
Right.
So it would be nice if they did do that. But for me, I just look at these episodes as just standalone. If you look at them as just standalone, to where it's like, oh, okay, you know, just something to kind of deviate a little bit. If you want to deviate a little bit, then you can go ahead and watch the episode. But you're right, because when you look at it as a whole, you wonder, okay, so there, it doesn't tie into what the main thing is. But you know, I mean, it was basically season 2, and we hadn't really found, I guess we still hadn't completely found our footing yet. But, you know, so if you look at this, like I said, if you look at it as a standalone episode, it's fine. But if you do tie it in with some of the other episodes that do, you know, match up with what is going on, then yeah, it is kind of like it does make you go, okay, why do we need this episode again? So, yeah, I guess it's kind of like, to me, it's kind of like in the middle. Like, I can watch it as a standalone episode, but it's not one of those episodes where I have to watch it if I don't want to.
Okay. All right. Well, that was a good discussion, man. It was a good discussion. I like that.
Cool.
All right. So, our next episode is going to be next week, and this is the week before our special 20th anniversary podcast. So after next week's episode, we are going to take a break for 2 weeks, and we're going to be doing the special 20th anniversary, which we're very excited about. Are you excited about it?
Oh yeah, tremendously so.
And you're going to be
that's going to be huge. That'd be epic.
You're going to be a part of it. We have a special interview with you, so you're going to be on there. I have other friends as well that have been joining us. Daniel and Kelly from the Reasons I Broke podcast. We have Wybie that you heard earlier in the episode. We have other friends that I have. Sir Luna, who is on the website. We have Sayako, who will be joining us again. We've got an all-star cast. We're also going to have, hopefully, some new faces or voices. Not faces, because they can't see you. But some new voices that will be joining us for the podcast. So I'm very, very excited about this. Now, just again, to remind you, you can actually join us for this celebration. So if you send us an interview, the questions are actually on this post right now. If you go to the post right now on thearcadearchives.com, you can find the questions. You can record yourself. Again, the rule is 7 minutes, and keep the language PG, please. And if you send it to us before February 15th, we will put your recording in the episode. So please make sure you do that, because by the time this episode is up, this will be the 13th. So you'll have only a few more days to do so. So make sure you do it as quickly as possible, all right? Now, I also want to remind you again that on the 27th, we will be having a special Pokemon Day event at Crumbs World Comics and Collectibles and Lucky Straw's Boba Tea Cafe. This will be on Saturday the 27th, and I will be there as a part of it. Are you excited about this, Danny?
Yeah, it's really going to be huge, and just looking forward to seeing just what kind of amazing things come up, and just looking forward to the whole experience.
Right, we're gonna have a video game tournament, which is gonna be great, and it's $3 to sign up, and if you sign up, you get a little prize package that comes with a coupon for Crumbs World. I don't know how much it's gonna be off, but you get a little coupon for some dollars off of anything in the store. You get a coupon for a small boba tea at Lucky Straws. And you also will get, and this is going to be awesome, you're going to get a special edition drawing done by me of Brad the Surfing Pikachu and Kari the Pichu. So if you're a fan of the Tales from the Game Grid comic series, which is on this website again, thearcadearchives.com, you'll be able to actually have one of those if you sign up for the tournament, which again I'm very excited about. Very excited to see this tournament. I'm kind of sad that I'm not going to be participating in said tournament, but But I am happy that I will be there. I will also be, if you want to be in the second part of the podcast, we will be recording interviews there too, so make sure you're there. We're also going to be recording an unboxing of the 20th anniversary Pokemon 3DS, new 3DS that I'll be getting on that day. So we'll be recording it right from live there, and hopefully be putting it up online as quickly as we can that weekend. So look out for that. Very excited. Very, very excited. Now, before we end the podcast, again, this is part of Cartoon Connoisseur Theater, and the Cartoon Connoisseur Theater is part of the Arcade Archives Network. It's kind of like Inception, but it's a corporation, so it's like corporation? I don't know. Anyway, so yeah. it's a company within a company within another company within another company. So there we go. So if you're listening to this on thearcadearchives.com, we want you to make sure that you comment. If you're listening to this on YouTube, also comment. And don't forget to subscribe to the channel that you are listening to this on. If you're listening to this on iTunes, we want you to go to iTunes. We want you to leave us a review. We don't care how many stars you give us. You can just be as nice as possible. And if you're going to leave criticism, please make sure it's creative criticism, not just you suck. Please tell us why. Please tell us how we can improve so that we can make this a better podcast for you, the listeners out there. If you want to let us know what you thought of this episode, if you want to let us know some fun facts about this episode, even if we get things wrong, because we're human beings, we get things wrong, please leave a comment and let us know, and we will read these comments on the podcast. So please look out for that. Mr. Danny, do you have anything you want to throw out there?
Well, just, you know, I'm on just my usual haunts. You know, I'm at, you know, I'm on fanfiction.net, and you can follow me on Instagram. So, so yeah, so that's pretty much that on my end.
Oh, by the way, we are also on Instagram as well, the Arcade Archives Network. It's the official network Instagram, and we'll be bringing up updates and small things. Like, just recently, we found a picture of, I don't know if you played Assassin's Creed, but we found a picture of one of the characters from Assassin's Creed. Her name is Eve, and we found a picture of someone had dead... of that character as an Eevee, which absolutely looks phenomenal. So,
wow.
Check it out.
I gotta check that out.
Yeah, really check it out. All right, our next episode is called Naval Maneuvers, and Ashley Company finally find the next gym after so long. After so long of waiting,
it
feels like it's been 10,000 years. Sorry, that's an X and Y reference. Anyways, yes, after years of waiting, we finally make it to Naval Island, and we get to have Ash's next gym battle. But this gym battle may not be the same as the ones we've seen before, so check this out. Alright, so from me, UberNerd527, and of course, Danny the Ultrasonic Player, thank you so much for joining us here, and we hope to see you again in the next Pokemon Rewind. Bye, everyone!
See ya!
Best wishes!
Looks like you've got everything you need there in that backpack.
Well, you can't be totally prepared for the surprises life has in store, but I always try to plan where I'm going and know what I'll need before I do something.
That's such a mature way of looking at things. Too bad certain other Pokemon trainers aren't smart enough to think ahead.
Ha! Some trainers don't have to plan because they're good enough to come out on top in any situation.
Especially if they're with trainers who know what they're doing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah!
It sounds to me like the two of you are pretty close to one another.
Huh? What do you mean?
What's that saying? You always hurt the one you love?
Oh, you've got it all wrong. I'd never get involved with a little kid like him. I only like the mature, intellectual type.
She's the kid, not me. Huh. And who is this guy, anyway?
Pika?
I guess he's another trainer, and he must be here to challenge the naval gym leader just like you are.
Oh, yeah? Well, we'll just see who's gonna be the first to win a bat!
Thank you for listening to this Arcade Archives Network podcast. If you like this, please go to iTunes and write a review. You can also comment on thearcadearchives.com. Again, that's thearcadearchives.com. You can also go over to our other website, zowiekerpowie.com. Again, zowiekerpowie.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at TailsFTGameGrid. Again, at TailsFTGameGrid. Thank you again so much for joining us here for this Arcade Archives Network podcast, and keep playing like it's 1981.
Message from headquarters. This is a Rebellion production and is part of the Arcade Archives Network.
That is all.